In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. One of the email groups I belong to is my homiletics professor from college, from seminary, and priests and deacons from around the world. There are some in England and some in Africa in this group. And I remember about 3 years ago, regarding this particular gospel reading, they were all discussing how they hate having to preach on this particular gospel reading because it's so difficult. It's one of the most difficult ones. And one of them said, well, I'm set because we have an important anniversary in our church and we're having a special liturgy and we're going to have completely different readings, so I'm all set. And another one said, well, the bishop is visiting us this week, so the bishop's going to preach on it, so I don't have to worry about it. So they were all, you know, patting each other on the back. They found a way to avoid preaching on this. I mean, some of the wording really doesn't make sense at all, does it? I mean, it sounds like Jesus is saying, be shrewd and dishonest like this horrible manager. If it's for the kingdom of God, it's a good thing. Clearly, that's not consistent with Jesus' personality at all. So there must be more going on here. And so I enjoyed digging into things like that. So I've read lots of commentaries about this passage. And there are a couple important things that just help shed some light on what was going on in this parable that Jesus was giving. One is that it was a very important cultural value in that time among Judaism to consider honor and shame. That was more important than financial success. It was more important than material things you accumulate or power you have in government. It's about honor and shame. And the master's honor and even his status in the community would be damaged if the public found out he couldn't even control his own employees. That would be a source of shame, and he would actually lose face with the whole community. Certainly the manager had a real problem, because if he ever wanted to get a job anywhere else, as soon as word got out that he brought shame on his boss, that would take care of his career path. He'd be done in that whole career. So he came up with a scheme. He forgave a big part of whatever anybody owed. And people would assume that that was the manager acting on behalf of his master. So it shows how greatly generous and forgiving the master was. So it actually would boost up his honor rather than damaging it. Pretty shrewd, I have to admit. That really was a very shrewd way of handling the problem. And in fact, it sounds like he was really putting that action in a place to be even more important than possibly losing money. Well, then the topic of losing money is an interesting detail when you read the commentaries, that there probably was not any monetary loss for the master at all, because there is a law in Deuteronomy. Let's see, I made some notes here. In the 23rd chapter, 19th verse, that in Deuteronomy, Jews were not allowed to charge interest to each other. And so what was the common practice in that day? It wasn't called interest, but there was a commission that was put on top of whatever the loan amount was. And so they still got extra money, but it went to the manager. And so by him providing these discounts, in all likelihood, he was just discounting it to the actual debt and taking out his commission. So maybe there was no loss of money to the master. It was just the manager saying, well, having my job and a career path, it was more important than getting his commission. Well, Jesus made this statement in this parable, following the story, following the parable. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. I think that's where this whole story leads, is for us to really think about and be discerning about and reflective upon the little things in our lives and how important they really are to define where our heart is. And so the little things count. They make a difference. They matter to God because they do reflect where our heart is. And I've got a couple of examples that I want to share with you on that topic. The first is that Ruth has ended up becoming really good friends with someone in Hollister here whose father is growing very old and very frail. And over the last couple of months, he's fallen 3 times. And the last time he fell, it was so severe that he was all bruised up and he had to go to the hospital. And when the doctors examined him, they said, you know, we really can't send him home again. He's got to go to assisted living. Well, that's the last thing in the world her father wanted to hear, that he'd have to go to assisted living. So she has to drive 2 hours each way in order to get to where her father is to try to arrange for assisted living and also to arrange for assisted living that he'll put up with. So she's going through a lot of stress about really being a good daughter and about being, you know, caregiving of her father and his wishes, but also make sure he's safe, right? So there's all these things going on and all of this, these long commutes going on, and she's missing work and she's missing her family here at home because she's doing so much of this commuting. Well, Ruth found out last week that she was going to be coming home from one of these trips late at night. And so Ruth ended up putting together a kale salad, just a kale salad, and took it over to her and dropped it off at her house. By the time Ruth got home, there was a text. Later that night, there was another text. The next morning, there was another text. That afternoon, there was another text. She got like 4 texts saying, that was so great. Oh, thank you so much. I am so grateful. It was the most fantastic thing. And I'm thinking, that can't be about the kale salad. Not in my mind anyways. But there was this string of text messages because it showed that Ruth noticed and cared and just did a very little thing. She said, it cost me $4. And I said, that's not the point, is it? It's really not the point. It was a little thing that meant a tremendous amount. We don't even recognize, do we, how much little things matter. I remember the Loma Prieta earthquake and what it was like after that earthquake, watching as people would go up to doors. You know, one of the pet peeves, I guess we all have pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is I walk right behind somebody as they go into a business and they let the door slam in my face instead of hold it open. And so what I do when I go to a store, I have a lot of fun. I've turned it into a game. When I have that, when I go up to a store, I hold the door open for somebody. And then almost every time, that means the person behind me will do that for the one behind them. And it carries forward. I mean, it's just an amazing thing to watch. Well, after the Loma Prieta quake, everybody was doing that. When they were waiting in line at supermarkets, instead of complaining about the line being so slow, they'd ask each other, how did you do? Is everything okay? I hope you're doing well. I hope nothing was damaged. You know, just caring about each other. I remember pulling up to stoplights, and in San Jose, there's a bunch of places where the stoplight is just past an overpass. And nobody was stopping under an underpass after what happened in Oakland. And so that place, that space would be empty. And so we would stop before the underpass. Nobody honked a horn. Nobody shook a fist. Nobody got upset because they knew exactly why that was happening, you know, and they noticed, oh, I know why that's happening. You know, it was a 7.1 magnitude earthquake, and I certainly wouldn't want that to happen again, but I sure got a lot of fulfillment out of seeing the magnitude 7.1 caring that happened. It was so noticeable. It lasted a couple of months, but it was a great couple of months. This is about paying attention to the little things because they matter and they lead to where our heart is for the big things. They have the power to change lives. They reveal to other people and to God where our heart is. We need to remember the power there is in a kind word or in a warm smile or in our offering a prayer to someone, even when we're tired, even when we've got worries in our own life, even when we don't feel like it. It really matters. And Jesus tells us in this story, it matters. So I have a suggested assignment for you for this week. I'd like to have you think about little things that you have done, maybe one particular little thing that ended up having surprisingly big results that you saw. Think about that event in your life that you thought was such a little thing that had a big response to it, a big impact. And then think about, once you've got that idea in your mind, think about what is the core value that lives in me that led me to take action on that little thing. What is that core value? I pray that we all be good managers of even the little things that God entrusts to us. And I pray that the choices we make about little things and choices we make about big things are choices that bring honor to our Heavenly Master. Amen.